Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Power Up and Game. This is episode 31, and I am your host, Michael, and I am joined once again by my co-host, Taylor. Taylor, how's it going?
I am doing pretty damn good, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing quite well. I actually got an announcement that I'll make at the end of the show, and anybody who's following me on Twitter has already heard it. But, you know, I'm actually feeling pretty good. And I think we have a pretty good show coming up today, too. So, with that said, let's go ahead and get into it. All right, so here's what's on our docket. A few weeks ago, we did an entire episode on the horror game genre. We talked about our favorite franchises, how insane it was that Five Nights at Freddy's is still around, what makes for a good horror game, and all sorts of fun stuff. Really liked that episode and that format. So, on today's show, we're going to do that again, but with another topic. Taylor, go ahead and take it away.
Don't mind if I do, Michael. So God of War Ragnarok is coming out very soon. Some lucky people have been able to share snippets of their impressions of the game. And actually, at the time of this recording, I believe the review embargo is up.
Yeah, I've seen a few, and they have been glowing.
They've pretty much been 10 out of 10s across the board. So, yeah, we can... expectations are pretty high, I'll say. At least for me.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the writing myself. Because the writing in God of War 2018 was awesome.
And unfortunately, there are also spoilers out there online as well. And that's just been a PSA for anybody. Like, hey, if you want to avoid spoilers, stay offline. Mute whatever you have to mute. And, that's the first thing we want to say here. If you are interested in playing God of War Ragnarok, we do hope you're able to avoid those spoilers and go into that game blind. And secondly, and here's our topic for today, in anticipation for the upcoming sequel, we want to take a look back at the soft reboot that created this God of War renaissance. So let's talk about God of War 2018, Michael. This is not going to be an all-out deep dive discussion or a retrospective. We're just going to be talking about the game. But be warned, we're going to be talking about spoilers for the first, well, really fourth, game in this franchise, God of War 2018. We're not talking about Ragnarok. Just want to make that very clear. We're just talking about God of War 2018 spoilers. Michael, I think my first question for you is, why do you think this soft reboot worked?
For me, it was definitely the writing. It took angry, pretty much like a teenager Kratos who just wanted to destroy out of petty and revenge, to a Kratos that has learned his lesson and has grown as an actual character and has stepped in the role as being a father for the second time in his what seems to be immortal life. So really, their focus on Kratos as a character rather than just him being hellbent, no pun intended, for revenge really stuck out for me as something that I didn't think I was going to see in a God of War game. And it really worked for me because the writing was really strong and it really turned Kratos into an actual character.
I would agree with that. And I'd also say that Santa Monica Studio, it seemed like they really walked into developing this game with the mindset of, we're going to do our own thing. It's not going to be like the God of War games of before, but we're going to handle those games with care. We're not just going to toss it aside and toss the lore to aside. And I think that's another reason why the writing comes across as so strong, is because they take all that into account and going, hey, we're going to tell our own story, but don't forget about the other ones. And that said, we'll be talking about other things like, is this a great launching on point for newcomers? And as somebody who never really played the original God of Wars, I never really felt lost. And that's another huge attribute to why this game works so well. On top of stuff like its gameplay, its visuals, the fact that there are no load screens really. This is just an impressive achievement for video games at the time. And this was pre-next gen.
It is PS4.
Yeah, PS4. Like, this is pre-next gen. Like, this is insanely impressive across the board. Like, I know this game does have its detractors, and that's all well and good, and I mean that very sincerely. It's just, when you're looking to me objectively, though, at like what this game accomplished, even without like, hey, I didn't care for the story or I didn't care for the gameplay, there's some things that just it objectively accomplished that you just look back and go, damn, Santa Monica Studio did a phenomenal job.
Yeah, one of the things that that worked out, at least story-wise, because again, that was the biggest point for me, the biggest thing that stuck out for me, was, I believe, the director. He based it on his memories and his time with his father and the parallels that his father had with Kratos, with having troubles with like doing like showing emotions and not being a bad father, but like the struggles of raising a son. And that was one of the things that like you would notice in God of War 2018 was Kratos' whole deal of being a dad and raising a child. Because for anybody who hasn't played the originals, one of the big things about Kratos was that he originally was a father. He was a he had a daughter, he had a wife, and he ended up accidentally in his rage slaying both of them, which was a big character point for Kratos. So to see that Kratos has a second chance at something like that, a second chance at life, at being a husband, a father, it was like one of the big things for God of War 2018 that I really liked. And to find out that the director of the game, and I gotta find his name, he had that personal touch on it because he had that kind of relationship or lack of relationship with his own father.
Yeah, I definitely would agree with that. I want to talk about Kratos here in a second, but there was something I was talking about earlier, and that is like, is this game a good jumping on point for new players? Again, I think it definitely is, and I believe I'm an example of that, because it gave me enough to where I can pick up on the context clues. And when he gets the, what are they called again? The Blades of Chaos, I want to say they're called?
Oh, his original blades?
Yes. In that moment, even though I didn't have the context for it, like the full context, I had enough to know like, oh shit, this is a big deal.
It's the way they play it up.
Yeah, and yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, they do such a good job, even in that moment, to where even if you hadn't played the games, you realize how big of a deal it is. It's not just a thing to where new players are looking there going like, why does he care so much about these blades? Like, what's the point of it? You get enough there, and I think throughout the game you get enough as well. But I guess from the perspective of somebody who's played the older games, do you think this God of War 2018, I gotta quit calling it the new God of War because the new God of War is Ragnarok here very soon, but do you think God of War 2018 was a great jumping on point for new players?
Absolutely, yes. They do enough to where it doesn't rely on nostalgia to the point to where it felt like, oh, I'm just playing the original God of Wars anyway. It feels like sometimes like, hey, this is a continuation, but it's also its own thing. This is God of War. This is a new entry, a new series, and a new deal for us. And they did it right by having Kratos go to a completely different realm and being able to pretty much restart what they did with the first one, with Kratos being a dad and a husband. Because we didn't really get that a whole lot in the first one. Like, they mentioned it and we see story beats about it, but we don't see Kratos actually being a father. And in this one, he's kind of forced to kind of play that dad role that he's kind of afraid of. So anybody who hasn't played the original, they get that feeling of Kratos the father in the new one. And they get his rage. Only they get a different set of rage for Kratos from people who played the original. But they still get that rage from him and they understand why he's angry. And I think the only thing that you don't really get is him becoming the God of War. If anybody who played the original trilogy, they get that satisfaction of seeing him going from a regular Spartan soldier to fighting his way up to becoming the God of War, and how he has these abilities to take the power to become the God of War. In the sequel / reboot, you get an exposition of that. And they do a good job of explaining it. They're having Kratos explain it to Atreus and having the audience be in Atreus' shoes at that moment. So for anybody who hadn't played the original, I think this will be a great jumping on point of playing God of War 2018. and then Ragnarok.
How did you feel about seeing Kratos after all this time? And this because he is a lot different. Like, even from the outside looking in, I knew Kratos as this rage-fueled, like, very action-filled franchise. To where it's just balls to the wall, I'm going to be slashing up gods and demons kind of thing. And this game is so much different, and it feels like Kratos is, I don't want to say subdued, but just in this, he's dormant. In a, I'm putting myself in this spot, do not piss me off kind of thing. How did you feel about where we saw Kratos in God of War 2018?
I was a little conflicted. I'm not gonna lie. When I heard that God of War 2018 was gonna be a sequel slash reboot, because of the way they ended things in God of War 3, I was like, oh, okay, I guess you can continue it on from there. And when I saw that it's an older, more calm Kratos, I was like, okay, you're developing his character beyond I'm just angry at everything for no reason. Because anybody who's played the original trilogy, after 1 and throughout parts of 2, you get his rage. But after that, at the end of 2 and pretty much all of 3, you're like, yeah, Kratos is just angry to be angry. With this, I was kind of like, well, that's not Kratos. How are you going to have this God of War not be a raging god? And I was really reserved about how they were going to story, because they were changing up not only Kratos, but adding in Atreus, which I thought was going to be annoying, and they added in a new gameplay mechanics to where it wasn't balls to the walls action, where you were just going around slashing up these giant 20, 30, 40 feet monsters, and it really was more, in a way, grounded, at least grounded in the way of the God of War.
There's still a lot of that. This is still an action game, don't get me wrong.
No. There's
it felt a little more, from what I know, again, never really played the originals. I've just seen gameplay, like videos of it here and there throughout the years. It seems that God of War 2018 is a little more personal, I want to say, in terms of its action. Because
it definitely is. Yeah, it definitely is. I was kind of annoyed with it because, you know, that was kind of the trend for, well, it is the trend. It was kind of like the trend for Sony games, the third person walkathon with action set pieces here and there. You know, I really love the Uncharted series. Like, they handled that well. But I didn't think it was going to work for God of War, because God of War was like fast paced action with a couple of puzzle set pieces to break it up. And when I saw the new God of War, I was like, okay, so the combat's a little slower. Kratos isn't going around tossing himself up like 20 feet in the air and slamming down on monsters and whatnot. So I was like, yeah, I'm a little reserved with this, especially since now he has a sidekick. You know, we're doing the Batman Robin thing. So for me, I was a little annoyed with what they were going with the direction at first.
Well, after playing the game, how do you feel about it now? I'm glad you said it from that perspective, because I wanted to, because I have a feeling a lot of people felt that way too, which is like, oh no, don't fuck it up. But how did you feel after the fact?
Oh, after, once I got my hands on it, I was like, oh my goodness, this works with the story. Like, it works with the more grounded Kratos, with more personal story. So yeah, I completely changed my mind once I got my hands on the game. And, you know, with any other game, with any other franchise, that could be a detriment to where, like, you change it up. So, I mean, look at Saints Row. When you change it up so much and water things down that you're like, wow, this is not the game that I wanted. This is not the franchise that I love. God of War 2018 really pulled it off. It fit the themes they were going with. It fit with the new mythology they were going with. It fit the new Kratos. So yeah, after I got my hands on it, I really start to understand what they were going for. And I'm glad that I gave it a chance, because it was amazing.
Let's talk about gameplay, because we can go back to the story, and I know we will. We got a lot of stuff that I think both of us loved about the story. But one thing I loved about the gameplay itself was the Leviathan axe, because it seems so simple now, especially now, when you're like, oh, so it's an axe that you could throw, you could recall it, and it'll do damage to enemies when you're recalling it. It'll keep enemies locked in place. It's just, at the time, and still to me now, it kind of feels like a very innovative weapon to put into a video game. And for it to be so smooth, the combat so smooth as well. The Blades of Chaos were really cool to use. I bet they were a lot different than in the original games, considering the differences in gameplay. But they were really cool as well, and you just had to mix and match those weapons later on in the game, depending on who you were fighting. The only detriment, I think, to the gameplay to me is maybe enemy types. It got a little samey after a while. They didn't, maybe that Santa Monica could have put a few more enemy types in. But really, I'm nitpicking there because just how well done this game was across the board. How did you feel, though, about Santa Monica's changes with the gameplay? Like, do you think they innovated enough here?
I do. I think it's completely different from the original God of War. If you, if someone like yourself who never played the original, if you went back and played the original trilogy, you are going to be like, wow, this is vastly different. This is nothing like each other. They feel like two different franchises. It feels like a reimagining instead of a remaster or a remake. It feels like a completely different game. Because, yeah, you went from the Blades of Chaos, which were able to be dual-wield and spun all over the place and able to do all these crazy combos, to the Leviathan, which became more of a range single enemy type weaponry, but they made up for it by allowing it to have all these different abilities, such as freezing enemies, being able to be thrown like a boomerang, aerial effects, all kinds of body slam abilities. It was really cool to see just how much they were able to change up the gameplay, even when they reintroduced the Blades of Chaos. It's like, wow, you know what? If this was the whole game, I would be disappointed because then I would want the original feel of the blades. And so having Leviathan being the main weapon, and then close to the end of the game getting the Blades of Chaos was a great smart move. And oh my goodness, any other developer would have ruined it by letting you have both pretty much at the same time. But having the Blades of Chaos kind of like an in-story bonus kind of weaponry was fantastic.
Yeah, you eventually get them both at the same time, but there's a build-up to it. That not only, I think, in terms of the story, especially for people who played the games, there's that, oh, shit, it's about to get real. Here's the weapon that he's known for using. It also feels like it works for the gameplay, because you're kind of right. Like, even though my complaints about some of the enemy types, there's that feeling of, oh, they hit the refresh button and gave you the other option and something to liven up the gameplay a little bit so it can make it to its finish line, which I thought that was a brilliant move. Because I do agree, if you put both the Blades of Chaos and the Leviathan Axe at the beginning of the game and that's it, this game maybe gets a little boring in terms of its gameplay, which doesn't ruin a title. I've talked about before, like Guardians of the Galaxy is amazing. I love that game. It's got just an outstanding story and its characters and the writing and can go on and on. But its gameplay could have been better. So I think that's just where I'm trying to compare it to there, to be like, God of War didn't have that problem. It was amazing throughout. And the thing is if you put both of those weapons at the same time at the beginning of the game, maybe I do feel a little bit like it's more boring.
I mean, I can see somebody looking at the two and being like, oh my goodness, this new God of War looks boring. But yeah, no, it was definitely the enemies and the world, like the vast difference between the enemies and the worlds from the original trilogy that really had people look at it and be like, okay, so this is definitely a different God of War. Because if there's anything, a lot of people who enjoyed the franchise, they wanted to see Kratos do different mythologies. I believe one of the mythologies that they were going for before they decided to do the Norse mythology, I think they were looking at Egypt. And you know, Egypt has some wild gods, so that would have been interesting to see Kratos go up against some Egyptian gods. That'd have been pretty cool. But that didn't work out, and they went with Norse mythology, which was still pretty awesome. So I don't think anybody has to worry about God of War looking boring, because the team is definitely taking their time and looking at different mythologies and seeing what works, especially with their story.
You know what I think really worked, though, Michael? I think the AI worked pretty well in this game, especially with Atreus. And I thought with, we'll talk about Atreus as a character, who I thought was an amazing character, who, again, this isn't where you got to give Santa Monica so much credit here, because you can see the parts in it that you're like, that could have been where they fucked up. That could have been where they fucked up. That could have been it. And at every single point, at least for me, they knocked it out of the ballpark. And that also includes something like having a aid in battle with Atreus and having it feel like Atreus actually helps you. That's really difficult in games. How many times do we talk about, like, oh, the game was fun, the AI sucked, my companion sucked. I just played the Modern Warfare 2 campaign. Don't get me wrong, I love the Modern Warfare 2 campaign. It was amazing. But my teammates fucking, they were terrible. Like, they weren't doing anything to help me out. It was basically a one-man army being my character. So, God of War, just having that character beside you and actually aiding you in battle, doing something meaningful to help, really cool to see.
Yeah, actually, while we're on the subject for Atreus, I want to correct myself. I was wrong. Corey Barlog, the director for God of War 2018, I misinterpreted the story that I read a couple years ago about his relationship with his father. Is he was actually talking about his relationship with his son, about him not being a good father. So that's where Kratos and Atreus' whole ordeal comes from, his personal life with his own son. So that's very interesting. That's really cool. Because again, if you did play the original trilogy, you would understand that Kratos having a second chance of being a father, he doesn't really know what he's doing. Like, he accidentally killed his original wife and daughter, and here he is so many, who knows how many years later, with a son. He pretty much stayed away from his son because of what and who he is, and he did not want to harm his own son because of what he is. So that really worked. From what Corey was saying when it came to him and his son, was he got so immersed at his job at doing the God of War games and doing that, because I believe he also worked on the original God of Wars. He got so immersed in his work and tried so hard to focus on his career to give his wife and child a better life, that he accidentally removed himself from his son's life in a way that he didn't even realize until, you know, he looked at the way he was doing, was like, oh my goodness, I'm kind of out of it. So really basing that personal aspect with Kratos really, really works, because they both worked at the same time with Kratos, relearning to become a father and to being a good father. And now his son, who is half God, you know, he now has to really put himself in that respect, that I have to be there for my son and teach him how to be a god, so he doesn't turn out to be a destructive god like I was. So it really works out. And that really does go into Atreus. I mentioned before that I thought he was going to be annoying. Nobody wants a Robin. I'm sorry, but when it comes to these games, nobody wants to be stuck with a Robin the whole way. But Atreus really works, because he is lost. Like, he really wants to impress his father. He wants his father to love him. And you see him work hard at that. Usually when characters make the mistake of the main character tell them not to do something, but they go and do it anyway, I always find that kind of annoying. But in this one, it made sense, because at this point, Atreus really wants to impress his father and show his father that he is a man and that he can be just like him. So it made sense. It worked. And I think that's what really made me fall in love with Atreus as a character, was that you understood where Atreus was coming from. He was always sickly. He always felt weak. And here you go with your father, who is able to pick up giant boulders and pretty much snap the necks of giant trolls. So yeah, you're going to be like, I want to be like him. I want to be like this man. I want to oppress this person who can quite literally pick up the world. And as someone who really wanted to show his own father just how much of a man he was when I was a kid, like, I really wanted to impress my father. I played I played sports. I was doing football, basketball, track. You know, I was doing these things because my father was a man who enjoyed sports. My father was an athletic man. So I wanted to be athletic as well because I wanted to show my father that I could be just like him, that I could be this athletic male. So I kind of connected with Atreus, and I really understood where Atreus was coming from the very beginning. My father wasn't distant, so I couldn't relate to him on that end. My father was involved in my life, even though he did put a lot of his time in his work. As a younger child, I didn't understand why. Now that I'm older, I do understand. So I understand from both Kratos and Atreus' point of view. So for me, it really did fit on a personal level. And I'm really glad Corey put that aspect of his life into the game, because I think a lot of people can really connect with Atreus on that end. And a lot of men who are not as part of their child's life as they want to be because of certain aspects, they can really relate to Kratos on that end.
Yeah, I 100% agree with everything you said there. I think whenever somebody is putting something personal into a story they're creating, it does come across. And I'm not saying you always have to do that. There can be just fun, crazy blockbusters. There can be just something to where you're just having this crazy adventure. That's 100% fine. And those can be some of the best pieces of media you'll ever see or play. But there is something too about like seeing a theme or a certain character that the people making the game or making the movie or series, there's something personal they're throwing in there, and they're coming from their own perspective, and that's very cool too. In terms of the AI, though, what are your thoughts on that? Because Atreus, I know we just went into that huge tangent, but he was a big part of why I think the AI is so good in this game.
Yeah, and the thing is with the AI, I hate to say this because AI is not easy in video games. We have seen how AI can completely ruin immersions for video games. And when they first showed off Atreus, it was kind of annoying because he talked a lot. Like every time Chris would do something, he'd be like, "Wowee, that's awesome. I can't believe it." And it did get kind of annoying. It's like, "Ooh, wow, this is going to be painful." But they changed that up a lot. They put it to where he didn't really talk unless like it was important. Like he was asking Kratos a question, or he was like, "Hey, watch out for that enemy over there," or "Hey, I'm ready to do this attack." But yeah, back to the AI real quick, so we can go ahead and finish this, so we can actually talk about the characters. Because obviously, we want to talk about the characters, because that's what really sold.
Yeah, you refuse to talk about the AI in this game.
I know. I know. I keep bringing up the characters myself. But just real quick, the AI was kind of basic for God of War. They attacked, they backed off, you know, they did all kinds of, like, the AI is kind of basic. And that's not even a bad thing. I'm not saying that to be really mean, because AI is difficult in video games. But the AI in God of War, it just works. There was nothing spectacular about it. Even if you were going up against, like, the Valkyries, those powerful, badass Valkyries. Oh my goodness, those things kicked my ass so much. Even they just had like basic telegram attacks, and they didn't really do anything truly special. So I can't really say the AI was impressive in God of War 2018. It was competent, it worked, and it worked well, like it should have. And I have no complaints about the AI in God of
War. What about the companion AI, which is basically what I was asking?
No, that too, yeah. Oh, no, that too. All of okay. It just worked out. Like, Atreus wasn't getting stuck behind things that he shouldn't have got stuck behind. So the path that they had him run around, it was great. I never had to worry about Atreus getting stuck in something to where I had to reset the game or reset the levels or whatever. The AI, it worked. It functioned the way I think it should have functioned. Atreus wasn't doing anything truly special that made me like, oh my goodness, the AI in this thing is brilliant. Like, it worked so well, I didn't even think about it until you were like, what do you think about the AI? I was like, oh yeah, I didn't even have to think about it. It didn't get annoying, didn't get in my way. It worked.
Got one more gameplay question. All right. Well, two more gameplay questions, basically. First off, though, about a load screen thing. So I kind of talked about this earlier. Even now, it really seems insane that this game didn't have a traditional load screens. How did that feel to you, like, playing through it? To me, it was something I just couldn't get over.
Yeah, it was one of those things that you didn't really notice. He's like, all right, cool. I'm going from world to world, level to level. And I only really noticed the loading screen, like, when you go to certain realms or whatever. And
yeah, you can kind of, when you're starting to look for it, I think you can start to be like, oh, that, okay, that's it right there. It's,
yeah,
but like, it's done loading, in such a way to where here. It doesn't feel like they're, I don't want to say they're cheating, but I'm like, okay, it's working. Like, everything it's so freaking impressive.
Yeah, they did a creative way of hiding load screens. We go through realms, yeah,
which is ambitious as hell, by the way, because that is such a conscious choice.
It is. Because that was one of the big things about the PS5 and the Series X was like, we have SSDs, so it's virtually no loading times. Well, guess what? Santa Monica was doing that back on the PS4, to where they were able to hide their load screens. There's parts where you can walk through the planes between realms, and sometimes you might notice that one part of the realm is a little further to get to than the others. And I was like, okay, so this is where you're loading things in, and I'm completely okay with that because it's a pretty low screen in a way. I'm walking around a loading screen, and I really like the way it looks. It's stylish and it's very artistic and creative. So I didn't really have any issues with like, oh my goodness, with this, please hurry up. I get it, you're loading. It worked so flawlessly and stitched together so well that I kind of wonder, how come more games don't do that? Like, what did Santa Monica do with the hard disk drive? Not the SSD, but the hard disk drive. What did they do to hide these loading screens so well and make it feel like it's part of the world?
Yeah, like I said, it was something throughout the game to where eventually you'll start to spot like, oh, here it is. Here's kind of the quote-unquote cheat they use to get past it, or to hide it. That's a better way to put it. But still, it's so impressive to me. And like I said, it was such a like ambitious choice for the game to be like, we're doing all this and we want to have no traditional load screens. We want this to be as cinematic as possible. And to me, that's one of the reasons why this game is so memorable years later. Because that's what it feels like. And the last gameplay elements I want to talk about here is the upgrading and the puzzles in the game. I think if I were to also nitpick a little more, the upgrades, I think you could improve on that. Let's see what Ragnarok does with that. And the puzzles, they were fine. There's nothing. I don't really have any strong opinions about these. Do you?
Yeah, to be honest, I was kind of put off by the puzzles because I was like, man, it kind of feels like it's slowing the game down. But at the same time, I'm glad they're in here because it does break up the combat. But then again, I was more into Kratos and Atreus talking to each other, getting to know each other. Because every time Kratos would reach his arm out to put his hands on his son's shoulder to reaffirm him that he's safe and he's okay and that he's there, I was like, finally, Kratos, do it. And Kratos would draw back. It's like, Kratos, you piece of shit. You just show your son you care. Like, show you love him.
I'm amazed at how much that, like, I'm asking you a straight-up gameplay question. And I'm amazed at how much you somehow go back to talking about the characters.
Because that was the big draw for me. Like, no matter how much the gameplay is in there. And that's how well they put everything together. Like, the gameplay goes with the story. Like, the themes, they all just worked in so well. From Kratos.
Well, literally, because the thing about the ending of the game is the handprints that you have throughout the game are from the mother. It's one of those things that at the very end of the game, you're just like, fuck, that's a really good revelation. I don't know who thought of that in the writing room or wherever they thought of that idea from, but you deserve a raise. That is an absolute amazing decision to me, because it could have just been like, oh, it's like if you see a yellow ledge and that means you can jump on it in video games. Yeah. That's what you constantly see. Or if a red barrel, that means you can shoot at it and it'll explode. You just automatically put in your head, oh, the handprint's there to tell you how you can climb up. And instead, the game goes, we're going to add this bit of story to it at the very end and make you go, fuck, that's kind of also heartbreaking at the same time. Because she had to go through the whole events of the game. She had to retrace all these steps to give her family the path.
Yeah, and it's amazing. And they set it up so well at the beginning. You're just like, why did she leave a hint? That's weird. And like, yeah, you're right. You don't really notice until you're like, oh, so that's what she is. And that's why she went to go to this mountain and have her ashes scattered and do this. And that's why she wants Kratos. Because you find out that she does know what Kratos is. You're like, okay, so of course she would trust Kratos to be able to take their son to this mountain. And because and that was the thing that they went through multiple times. Of Kratos and his wife talking about the mountains and taking Atreus there, and Kratos saying like how Atreus isn't strong enough to do it, especially when he said like, I'm not strong enough. And I was like, oh man, Kratos with emotions, Kratos like with the personality and feelings, oh snaps. But you also get that in the gameplay, because I will finish up, you asked me the question about the gameplay, I will finish that part up. You can hear Kratos and Atreus talking during the battles and how they're learning from one another, and how at the beginning,
the gameplay was
it's all Kratos. Kratos is tricking Atreus. Atreus can shoot arrows to distract, and that's it. But as things go along, and you learn more about Atreus and Kratos and their life together, or the lack of life together, and you actually see Atreus get stronger and how he becomes more and more involved in the combat. And you're just like, oh, wait, Atreus is quite literally growing. Like, you were talking about the upgrade system. You can also upgrade Atreus. You can see him actually grow.
You can see him get, and this is also a point in the story, is he gets a little overconfident. He gets a little too cocky, where it's like, oh, no, where is this going? And it doesn't go anywhere, thankfully. It ends up being to where, like, okay, we subverted that. Thank God. That could have been a problem.
I like the way they handled it, though, because they did make it like it did have consequences. Like, he learned early on of what his father was talking about, the rage and why he tries to keep himself calm. And Atreus learns pretty quick, like, oh, I'm a god. I can do whatever I want. And that rage of his, it got to him to a point where he's like, okay, I'm a god, but these are also gods, and I'm just a kid.
He has such an arc in this game himself to where it feels like he grows up. And you see that also through the gameplay. Yes, we will talk about the gameplay one last time here. We're about to get into the story. Don't worry, Michael. I know how much you want to talk about the story.
Have we not been talking about the story? Hey, just like God of War 2018, we've been putting them both together, so it works.
But the thing about the gameplay with it is you're completely right. At the beginning, it feels like Atreus is just there to distract an enemy. And especially towards the end of the game when it's Kratos versus Boulder, and towards the other just end game levels, it feels like Atreus is around and he is an active companion who's competent. Like, if Atreus had to step in and do a little bit of damage, he could. Like, he's still a kid. He can't be taking on all these enemies alone or anything. But that version of Kratos compared to the beginning of the game are two completely different characters in terms of how they would handle themselves on a battlefield.
Yeah, and I think that's what really worked with the gameplay, was that you did have that mix of character dynamics, and you did realize that Atreus was growing, and he wasn't just a Robin. You know, he's becoming more of a Nightwing. He was becoming his own man, and you can see that he's becoming more and more useful, not only in the combat but also in the story itself. You see at times where, at the beginning, Kratos was like, Atreus, no, you stay back. I'm going to handle this. Don't do this. You just stay out of danger. And then further into the game, you start to see Kratos, as he's battling enemies, actually involve Atreus into his fights. To where you see that Kratos himself is learning that his son is him. You know, his son is able to handle himself given the opportunity. And you see Kratos training his son how to hunt. even though he did it his own way, which is kind of messed up. He teaches his son how to be patient. And, you know, the things that the opposite of which he learned as a Spartan, you know, of using your rage to destroy your enemy, he learned more of keeping control of the battlefield and only using your rage when your back is against the ropes and you truly need it. And seeing Kratos evolving his combat, even when you start doing upgrades, evolving his combat to involve Atreus shows just how much love and trust he actually had in his son compared to what they had in the beginning with you just shoot arrows and I'll do all the heavy lifting.
All right, Michael, let's go ahead and get into the story. Let's talk about some of this. So we're about to get into story spoilers for God of War 2018. We kind of have been anyways, but
yeah,
we already talked about our feelings on generally the story of God of War 2018. But there's a lot of other things here that I think we can get into that I thought were very interesting. Where do you want to start, man?
You know, we've been talking a lot about Kratos and Atreus. So let's go ahead and finish up on their family dynamic. I think there's still a couple things that we can both say about how Atreus and Kratos grew together. So one of the things that I really did enjoy about that arc was that you saw how their dynamic works so well together. You have the son who wants to impress his father. You have the father who, at first, we don't know what Kratos' intentions are. He's just this grumpy old man who's like, oh, great, I got to babysit this child now. Yeah, he's my kid, but now my wife is gone. I completely have to take over. And I know nothing about this little shit. And now I have to do everything to protect him. And you have Atreus who was, my father is this hulking warrior. Obviously, he has something going on because maybe some of the stories that his mom told him were super impressive. Obviously, they never told him about what Kratos was. But to see Atreus go from, I'm going to do everything in my power to impress my dad, and that causes nothing but frustration and anger from me, to I understand a little bit more about myself. And I understand a little bit more my father, and I understand my role and what I have to do in order to help my mother's remains make it to the mountaintop. Because at first it goes from, I want to impress my father, to I want to finish this journey the right way and put my mother to rest. And I think that was a magnificent story arc for Atreus.
Yeah, I agree with you so much on what you were saying. And also, I want to add, and I've said this many times, every time we talk about God of War's story, I kind of mention this. I just loved how we're just in this crazy Norse mythology setting with all these gods and all these crazy powerful creatures. And we get this Leviathan axe, and there's just all these fantastical elements to it. But you really just boil it down as just a dad and his son are going to a mountaintop to spread the ashes of somebody they loved. Like, it's such a, like, human story in this fantastical setting. Like, it's just, it's so fucking, like, beautiful, really. And for just, if you boil it down like that, it makes it seem like I'm kind of minimizing it. But to me, I think minimizing it actually makes it better.
Yeah, and, you know, when you say it that way, like, yeah, we know the story. But when you say it that way, it's like, it's such a simple story. Like, what exactly can you do? Norse mythology, because Norse mythology, family doesn't really have the best record when it comes to the gods. So for them to play it up like, hey, it's a family dynamic, not only on Kratos and Atreus, but like
Freya and Baldur
gods. Yep. Yeah, they have family's a huge theme. And yeah, it's like, oh yeah, this whole thing is because Kratos and Atreus wants to just spread somebody's ashes over the mountaintop. It's like, well, that's pretty simple. We can do that. Oh, yeah, by the way, all these other gods, they want to kill you because of some unknown reasons. Like, wait, what?
Yeah. And it deals with some themes of grief, too, and just it does it so well in terms of... And also, if you're just looking into this to go like, all right, I just want to go to war and just kill a bunch of enemies with this Leviathan axe... Completely can do that. The gameplay is great. Like, you can get this. Yeah, you can get whatever you want out of this game. You really can. It's outstanding to me. And it, like you said, with those two characters, such a great job with their dynamic evolving over time, both of them evolving over time. And I think one of the things that like set the tone for this game was the first big fight that you get in. What did you think about Boulder versus Kratos? Who was called the Stranger?
Yeah, at the time it was called Stranger, yeah, because I didn't know who he was. I thought it was absolutely wonderful. And it just made me question, man, why can't more games have like these kind of surprises in there? To where you go from, hey, you know the mythology, but because you don't know how the character look in our version, you don't really know who this is until it's too late. And having your first big fight be with one of the gods without you even knowing it was such a pleasant surprise. You're like, well, shit, who else is here? Is Thor gonna show up? Like, are we gonna fight Odin? Who's gonna be the next boss? Who's gonna
and
be
the thing is, it's a little more small scale than what you're thinking when you're first going through that level. And you would think that would be disappointing. Because I had the same thoughts when I was playing against when you're fighting the Stranger, you're like, oh my god, we're going to be fighting Thor or Odin. Like, you were just saying, like, is this how far this game's going to go? And it never goes that far with this game. You're learning stuff about what's going on in this realm, but you never, like, really see the Thor or Odin. You never get to fight him.
Yeah.
And I think that was a really good decision because it sets up something like Ragnarok that we're going to be getting.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing is, like, I was actually kind of surprised by that because I was like, oh, okay, so we're going to do this whole thing to where, just like we did the first game, to where we face a bunch of the gods and work our way up to Zeus. And this one, they just really set up like, hey, Zeus is watching you. And this and that, and like you don't know why at first, but later on in the game you find out it's because
Zeus is watching. Is you?
Coming, well, the All Father, Odin. Odin was watching you, and you're like, oh well, why? How come he doesn't just handle it himself? You know, you see his ravens, so you're thinking, oh okay, so sooner or later he's gonna show up. But they did such a great job of just building things up, like building against the Valkyries or going up against Boulder multiple times because he is a guy that doesn't feel pain. He's just like, well, how do you deal with that? How do you fight someone like that? And you know, that itself was a storyline puzzle, and left you like guessing, like, oh my goodness, how many times I have to face this guy? Because one of my complaints of Halo Guardian, well, a lot of people's complaint was that you had to face the Guardian was the only main boss you were facing over and over again. But Boulder, it carries such a meaningful fight throughout the game that story-wise, it worked out. And you just sat there wondering, how am I going to defeat a god that can't feel pain? You know, like...
Yeah, and you're learning about that throughout the game, too. Because at first, you're like, oh, you just snapped his neck. He's dead. Then he pops up again, and it's like, okay, how the fuck is this dude alive? What do I have to do to kill this guy? And you don't really know until later on in the game, and we get that awesome final fight. And we'll talk about that later. But, man, just... It really sets the tone for what this game is, of how powerful Kratos still is, for the game to be so a little, it's weird to say this game's grounded, but compared to the other franchises, grounded.
Compared to the trilogy,
To whereas this set the tone to be like, yeah, it's grounded, but Kratos is still somebody you're not going to fuck with.
Yeah, especially when like you find out that Freya is Boulder's mom, and... It comes to a point to where you're like, oh, I'm going to have to kill your son. But from the way you've been helping me and my child, I don't actually want to kill him. This is just this moment to where you're like, wow, I'm going to have to kill Freya's kid while I'm sitting here trying to protect my child after she healed him. And it just becomes this whole thing to where the new Kratos works because new Kratos doesn't want to kill Boulder. And he's like, hey, I get it. I have a kid too. I know how you feel. You wanna protect your child. And you see that struggle. Kratos in the past would not struggle with killing anybody, let alone a god. So to see him struggle this time around, because you you're so intimate with Boulder now at this point, like, you know, his mother.
Well, he also does it to save, to get into that part of it too, is Freya throughout the game is somebody who helps Kratos and Atreus out a lot. Yeah, she's a very endearing character to me, at least. She is a very likable character, and she helps Atreus whenever he gets sick. And that's when, towards the end of the game, and Boulder's trying to kill Kratos, and then he tries to kill Freya, it's very sad, because you're like, don't kill off Freya, like, what the fuck here? And she's wanting it to happen, because she just knows, like, maybe this will give my son some peace if he kills me. Maybe that's what does it. Kratos, kind of, he's been around the block. He knows this is not only going to get worse and worse. And plus, I think he does like Freya. He doesn't want her to die, so he does what he thinks is the only option, and that's snapping Boulder's neck and actually killing him. That is just, it's so, he says, like, the cycle ends now, which, when I was reading some backstory on this, is something that he is, I think, said to him, or he says in the original trilogy, or original games, like with him and Zeus or something like that.
So that was actually one of Kratos' big themes in the original trilogy, was his anger that he eventually learns that my vengeance is never going to be sedated.
And that's what I was trying to get at right there with Boulder.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's where it comes from. Because I know you said you didn't play the original trilogy, and I know a lot of people, we're talking about for people who didn't play the original trilogy. That was one of the big themes for Kratos in the original game. That he eventually learned that all his rage, all his anger, his bloodlust for revenge, it eventually honestly means a whole lot of nothing. And so with this game, and that's why this one, it really works. It's that when I said old Kratos wouldn't mind, he wouldn't hesitate. With this one, Kratos, he understood that, yeah, Freya wants this to happen, but really this isn't going to change who and what Boulder is. He's going to continue to suffer, and he makes the sacrifice, like, I'm going to end it for you. And because that's what Boulder wanted too, he just wanted everything to end. And at one point he thought, like, hey, if I take out the person who's responsible for it, I should be good to go. But of course Kratos knows that's not true, it's not going to happen, and he knows he can't talk Boulder out of it. So seeing new Kratos pretty much looking at a different version of his old self and coming to terms with it was pretty cathartic for me.
Yeah, and I think as somebody who knows very little, it's just, it still works so well in terms of just the context of God of War 2018. You know, like, this is a Kratos who's been around the block, he knows the deal, and you get that part of him going to the other realm. Again, I forgot what it is. And where he's getting some flashbacks of some stuff. And that was really cool too for me. That's something I think you really needed in the game. And I'm glad we got it, because it makes some stuff towards the end more meaningful.
Yeah, he's seen stuff from his past, including his father, Zeus. And he has to try to explain to his son, like, oh yeah, by the way, your grandfather was Zeus the god, and he was my father, and I had to kill my own father. So really seeing that aspect of Kratos was something else, especially like when he tried to hide it at first, because there's a vase that shows parts of the original trilogy of God of War, and instead of showing Atreus, he tried to forget it, he tried to hide it. So seeing those kind of moments to where no matter how hard Kratos tries, that whole past was going to come out to Atreus one way or another. So it was pretty amazing to see Kratos pretty much just saying, screw it, it's going to happen, and talk to his son about his old life and his father and what he had to do.
Yeah, and you can also understand where Freya's coming from at the very end where...
Oh, definitely. Oh, yeah.
Well, at the time, like, he saved your life. Like, come on. But you also understand, like, well, yeah, I can see from her perspective, even as flawed as it is, that what you did to your son to protect him it really only kind of screwed him over. And you're like, to me, I think she's indirectly like, it's tragic, like the way it is, and it's done very well, but she's indirectly a cause of what happens here. It's a consequence of it all. And, but at the same time, you feel for her when she's basically saying, I'm pretty much going to kill you. Great. Like, I'm going to get my revenge on you. It's setting the stage for a sequel in a way that's just, it doesn't feel like it's sequel baiting. It feels like they just have a plan and they're going to execute that plan. And they're going to tell a great story here, and they're going to tell a great story in the next game, and we'll see if there's any other games after Ragnarok. But it's just, you can see where Freya was coming from in that instance to me, where it's like, well, fuck. Kratos, he made himself the bad guy on purpose, but there is consequences to that, too.
Yeah, he knew, but he's used to being the bad guy, so he's just like, yeah, hey, you helped my son, I'm going to help you. And yeah, it's like, well, you're an ally, so I'm going to help you out. And I know this, I know Ragnarok is the final game in the Norse mythology God of War. I know after this, they're going to move on to something else. So I am interested in seeing how they handle all of that. Because because we see in the trailer that you will have to confront Freya.
Let's go ahead and wrap up talking about the story. And man, we got an hour out of this just about, and I'm kind of surprised by that, but glad we didn't add any news topics. I'll say that. But we talked about Boulder getting killed. We talked about how the game ends with them getting to the mountaintop and the revelation about the mother guiding them along the way. There's also another big revelation, and that is that not only was the mother, I believe, either half giant or full giant, but also that Atreus' name, it means something else to, or he had another name to the giants, and that was Loki, which I thought was an amazing reveal. It was one of those things that, like, while you're getting there, you're like, all right, wait, the game's over? And the game's like, you know what, we'll give you one last reveal, all right? Here it is. The kid's name is Loki. So, whoa, fuck, all right, that kind of changes things. So how did you feel about the big ending here? And there's also something else that I've almost forgot to mention. Kratos notices what the mother was predicting on the walls, and Atreus does too, but Kratos notices one that's covered up that is Kratos's seemingly dead body, and what I believe is Atreus holding it. So it's curious to see how that's going to work with Ragnarok. If that does come true, you imagine it would be, but how did you feel about this big reveal at the end, and really how anticlimactic the very end of the game is? And I mean that in a very good way.
Ah, you felt it was anticlimactic? I know you said it was in a good way, but like, I felt like it was a really good spot to stop.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it felt like a natural, like, hey, we just had to fight with Boulder. That's the final boss. Like, for a second, I remember thinking, that's it? That's the final boss? But then as you're climbing up and you're realizing, oh, I'm at the top of the mountain, and you're going through these scenes and you're getting these revelations, I remember just feeling the sense of satisfaction from the story.
Yeah.
Being like, no, there shouldn't be a last second boss. I'm happy with what I got. This seems like just such a natural spot to end it.
Yeah. They could have easily dragged it on, but I am happy with how they ended it. The whole Kratos death thing, I've kind of learned not to really take that into, I'm going to take it with a grain of salt, because if anything, you're not going to really go off and like kill off your franchise character. Like, I don't care how much of a story you're trying to tell. I don't think they're going to find a way to keep Kratos alive. Cause that's actually one of the big themes for the sequel, to where it is, we don't allow fate to decide things for us. We make our own fate. We take control of our own destiny, our own path. So it's like, okay, so Ragnarok is obviously something to where Kratos is going to find a way to defy what he's learned. And I'm excited for that, but I'm also kind of like, yeah, I don't think you guys are going to take it to the point to where Atreus is the new God of War and where Atreus is the one that we're focusing on. So for me, it was kind of eh, but at the same time, it was like a good spot to end it, and it made sense. As at first they were like, yeah, we're teasing Ragnarok, and it was like, yeah, but there's so much more going on than just that. So I really liked it, but at the same time I was like, yeah, I don't really believe you guys. I don't think even for a second that you guys have the galls to do something like that.
Yeah, we'll end up seeing here pretty soon, because I don't remember the exact release date of Ragnarok, but it's got to be very soon considering we're seeing reviews for it now. All right, you ready to get out of here?
I'm ready when you are. So, thank you everybody for joining us. But before we go ahead and leave, we're going to go ahead and do a couple of selfish little plug-ins. So, Taylor, what are you playing?
Not playing too much. I played a little bit of Modern Warfare's multiplayer. I think they announced that they're going to be redoing the UI here soon, which is just, thank God.
I've heard how bad the UI was. If it's as bad as it was in the
beta. It was horrible. And it is horrible. So I'm very glad that that's being changed. I really didn't like the multiplayer the first few days. I don't know if it was the skill-based matchmaking was just so bad, but it felt like I was barely able to get 5 kills a game. That's how bad I was playing. I was just like, wow, what is this? Like, I was having so much more fun during the beta. But I'm kind of coming around to it now. I think it's past the launch weekend. I guess people were either not playing it as much, or maybe it's one of those things to where the skill-based matchmaking is a little less strict. Maybe I got put into worse lobbies because of how bad I was playing. Who knows? But I've been having a lot more fun with it now. Been getting a lot more kills, thankfully. I've been doing a lot better. So that's just what I've been playing a little bit.
Cool, cool. As for me, I am still playing Overwatch 2. I'm still grinding through that, even though it's annoying. It's fun and annoying at the same time, and I hate it. But yes, I am still playing Overwatch 2. Taylor, what are you working on, and where can we find you?
I'm not working on too much outside of this podcast. You could find me in our Discord, the link for which is in the description of this very episode.
As for me, I am working on a review for a game controller that I was sent. It's pretty cool so far. I'm not going to talk about it too much in too much details. But you can expect a review from me pretty soon at Bagel Games. And you can find me online on Twitter at @M_MOSLEY_JR. You find a weirdo in a fox hoodie. Congratulations, you're in the right place. You can also catch me on Twitch at twitch.tv/foxdaddy. That's FOXDADDY. And speaking of where you can find us, how about you come on over and join our Discord? Talk to me and Taylor. Let us know how much you love God of War, and how you might have had daddy issues, and this helps you reconcile with that, Kratos. And finally, check out TheNerdStash.com for all sorts of news in the worlds of gaming, movies, television, and so much more. We also have guides, reviews, opinion pieces, and various other types of content over there as well. Just like Discord, the link to TheNerdStash.com is in the description of this very episode. All right, Taylor, thank you for joining me. But seriously, everybody, I do appreciate you joining us. I know Taylor does too. We really do enjoy doing these things, and we wouldn't still be doing this if all of you weren't tuning in and listening to us mumble on about nonsense. We truly appreciate you, so thank you, whether this is your first time or your 600th time. And we'll be back next week with a brand new episode.